6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe you're listening later, wherever you get your podcasts. And if so, you can get ad-free versions of this podcast and all the podcasts we do at patreon.com/comicbookclub. But we got some news items to talk about. We have some great guests on the show that we're going to bring in for a moment. But a couple of quick news items I do want to mention. We're going to be at BIX this weekend, the Brooklyn Independent.
Yeah, all three of us.
Brooklyn Independent Comic Showcase. This is going to be at Industry City on Saturday and Sunday this week. We're going to have a table. We're going to have some swag. We're going to be giving away candy. Pete's going to stop.
There's
going to
be candy?
Pete's going to do like a stop by, right? Pete,
you're drive
like,
by. Quick stop by.
Drive by.
If there's candy, he's going to be there.
Yeah,
he's gonna be
exactly. There. You put out that free bowl of candy, I'm going to be there, man.
It was a good idea. I was doubtful the first con we did. Pete was like, got to have a bowl of candy. And I was like, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. But Pete was right.
That's right.
Pete's always the man of the people. He knows the people want the candy.
Yes. So we're going to be at BIX. Please do come out, say hello. We're also going to be doing a couple of interviews at the table there. So you can stare at us while we do a podcast, just like you're doing right now.
That sounds like fun. Ooh. You can yell stuff. We can respond.
No,
that'll be great.
Nope. Boo. That's not a
suggestion. I'm not enjoying this interview.
Ask better questions. I just assume people are doing that in their homes.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly.
You can tag any of us out at any time and take the place. We've always run a tag friendly operation.
That's right,
100%.
We run on a tag system.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got in. I tagged out our old pal Dave that we always talk about.
Yeah, that's right.
He was funny. Dave was funny. I wish you had.
He was funny,
out. But you know what? Yes, right.
Yeah!
Wow!
Yeah,
get rid of Lynn for the win. 11. Not sure I've ever seen Justin without a hat. Truth. I'm out in L.A., so I'm like free.
Hollywood Justin.
Sun on your head. Very cool. One other news item, and then we'll get to the guests here. I do want to mention this is a little bit of advance notice. We'll mention it again, but we are also going to be doing a panel at Fan Expo Philadelphia on Saturday, May 17th at 2 p.m. Details TBD on that. But if you're going to be in Philadelphia, you do need a badge for the con for that one. You don't need a badge for BIX. You can just stop on by Industry City this weekend. But that's coming up next month as well. So busy couple of months for the old CBC. I mean the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
What?
Yeah. Did you guys ever think about that?
Nope.
Yeah, that's our. We're huge in Canada. We run the all of television in Canada. Nobody talks about it. We barely talk about it.
Technically, I am huge in Canada, so I don't want to hear it.
Right. Does that mean because the gravity's less up there?
No,
right?
So because like Scotch tape in America, it's LePage tape in Canada. So I'm
this
not
is something you said, and I've never looked it up, but it sounds like a weird lie you're
it's
telling
true.
Us. Like a prank.
So true.
Can anyone and any Canadians in the comments back up Pete's largely insane statement that his name is Tape? My name is Tape, he says.
Tape and glue, man.
Speaking of the tape and glue that hold the comic book industry together, one of those aspects is writers, and we have two great writers on the show tonight. Why don't we bring in the first one here? He is the creator of the new Who Are the Power Pals from Dark Horse Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, Dwayne Murray, hello!
Hey,
hello!
Welcome!
Also, I'm Canadian, and I don't know what you're talking about. So
I knew it. Exposed.
Hey, no. Dan in the comments says it's true. So he's got my back.
That's your burner account.
We Canadians know each other. I don't know who Dan is. I don't know who that is.
See? Exactly.
Yeah, you'd figure Dwayne and Dan would know each other, but I guess not. What are we
they
talking
sit
about?
Sit near each other in class.
Why don't we talk about your comic? Issue 1 is out in stores now. Issue 2 is coming out in 1 week, I believe, on April 30th. This book is a ton of fun. It is about they're not kids anymore, but when they were kids, they were cast as the Power Pals on a potential big superhero franchise TV show. Didn't work out at all. Cut to decades later. They're kind of washed up, very washed up, actually, in Hollywood. And then they get a little bit of a new lease on things, thanks to dressing in their old costumes and skirting around specific spoilers. But I love the mix of Hollywood satire and superheroics and crime comics that's going on here. Feels like a very heady stew. What did it start with? What was the germ of inspiration for this book?
Ask better question. No, that was great.
Yes.
Sick burn.
That was fantastic. You know what? That was a great way of explaining it. And I was listening to you guys actually talk. It was like one of your rundown things. And one of you mentioned it was like a silly berry. And and that was perfect. I was like, why did
that's awesome.
Asking for a quick exclamation. I'm an actor. Classically trained.
All right.
Stage.
Shouts.
Green. There you go. Brotherhood. And I've as all actors will say, I've had some close calls. I've had some close calls with some nice things that would have gotten me not living where I live, and nothing happened. And the idea just came to me. I love the idea of someone. Like pretending to be the hero they played on TV and then trying to, you know, make a thing of it. Remember, there was an old John Ritter movie called Hero at Large.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he was actually like in the first issue, he was one of those guys. He was like a promo guy on the streets promoting a movie about that character. And something happened and he stopped. I don't remember. It was the 80s. I don't really remember. That bled in there. So I don't have a singular moment. This has gone through a lot of different combinations and team ups and various ways to approach the idea of washed up actors. And this is sort of what came out. And I think the personalization of it is me as an actor struggling for, you know, 20, 30 years. In this industry, and so knowing a lot about it and knowing the nitty gritty, but also having worked at, you know, levels or adjacent to levels that are very successful, and so that's pouring that side of me out into that in a hilarious, hopefully, way.
I came out to LA to be the Power Pals on-site correspondent, and I can attest that this is real. This is basically a documentary of what's going on out here. Very fun. So what I like about the book, though, is it feels like they couldn't achieve their dreams, but instead they're falling into achieving the fictional dreams of being a superhero. Can you talk about that? Like, because I feel like you've given us a good, chasing your dreams is great, but you don't always get there. So yeah. How did that get into the superhero side?
Well, and that's, it's interesting. My wife, who's also an actor, we were just talking about this yesterday, and people asking us, you know, still giving us tips. Have you tried auditioning for?
Yeah,
grandma.
You should try out. You're pretty funny. You should try for SNL.
Yeah, what?
Just give it a shot.
Do you have a degree? And we were talking about how we have to adjust our idea of what success is to remain happy. To remain fulfilled in life.
Now more than ever, Dwayne. Exactly, now yeah. more than ever.
Well, one of the big things I realized I had to do with both of these, since both these characters were going after the same thing, I needed one of them to veer off, and he starts to realize, oh, no, he wants to do this for good. Like, he does. He wants to be a hero. He wants to help people. He wants to protect people. Whereas Derek, the other guy, he literally just wants fame, and he will do whatever he needs to get fame. And right now, this seems to be the path to get it.
The art in this book is by Ahmed Rafat. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing that close to correct. But I love it. I love the tone that comes through with it, where for anybody who's listening on the podcast, it's cartoony, but it's heavily shaded, so it's giving noir at the same time. It feels like a perfect fit for the book. How did you get together with Ahmed? How did that partnership happen?
I'd done my book, Better Place, which I talked to you guys about years ago. And I wanted to venture into single issues. I wanted to give it a shot. And so I needed an artist. And Sean, who did Better Place, I love and will work with again, but he wasn't right for this book. And I didn't know where to go, to be honest. My friend Michael Walsh, who actually does live down the street from me, not just because he's Canadian, put out a tweet because he has some reach. And he put out a tweet saying that I was looking for someone. And Ahmed didn't even post himself. Someone tagged him on Twitter back when it was a viable place to find talent.
Yeah, yeah. A functional thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I clicked on Ahmed, and he was at the time promoting his Zoop crowdfunding book, Diary of the Astro Nudes, which you could just read online for free on a website, but he was crowdfunding for the printing of it. And I went to that website, and that was it. I was done looking. Like, it was so perfect for what I wanted for this book. Like, even the page you're showing, he uses different effects for different things, and I knew
he sure does.
With TV screens, and in the second issue you'll see, like, I in order to do a sort of montage style thing, we do a very stylistic thing to sort of passage of time and keep it fun. And Ahmed touched on all these things in Diary of the Astro Nudes, and he played with Zipatone and all these different things, and had that same quality of cartoony and funny, but still something about it, it still feels real. It still feels grounded. It doesn't feel like, a Scotty Young type thing or even Sean. It still has this grounding that I really like. It reminded me of Phil Hester when I saw it, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's a great call. I was getting, especially in the second issue, which we got to read a little advance of, it was reminding me of, like, the Hawkeye David Aja run, like, Fraction, like, and, like, it has that sort of, like, it's there's playing with form a little bit and finding different ways to tell the story. Yeah. But there's a little darkness around every corner in a good way. It adds to the dread while you're also being very funny.
That was one of when Michael asked, like, do you have a comp? And I said, well, you know, David Aja's Hawkeye. But, like, it's weird to compare anything to that because it was just its own thing and so incredible. But I did want something like that someone who plays with form and is willing, like, I'll send a script and maybe he'll go off and do his own crazy thing, and I'm all for it. And I'm so happy that I got him.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the form? I was going to ask you about that anyway, in terms of the layouts, because, again, from the pages that we're showing here on the show, I think people can see that they're very packed with panels and that they start to widen out as they head to the studio lot. Right. Like you said, in the second issue, there's this very cool sequence of pages that are made me turn my laptop sideways. That's all I'll say about it. No, it's fine. It was fun. How does that come together? I mean, given you know Ahmed's artistic strengths, are you just letting him go wild? Is it back and forth? Where does it start?
It's back and forth. I definitely write in a lot of that stuff if I feel it's such a specific request. But generally, I'll break down panels, but I don't say panel size or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just for my own pacing, I think, oh, this dialogue seems to work in six panels. If you can do it, if you want more, take more. If you want less, take less. He'll send me that. I'll rewrite it to suit what he did, unless it doesn't work story wise. I'll always defer to what he does. He's the artist, and he's always doing great stuff. Otherwise, if I think it doesn't, if I can't make it work just by adjusting dialogue, then I'll ask for a change or something specific. But in general, for the really specific things, I'm generally asking for that. But he'll sometimes come back with something I didn't think I asked for, but think, oh, that's amazing.
Nah.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you say that, just because, I mean, you certainly know this, but comedy is a very specific pace. Like, yeah, you can't quite control the way that people, the pace that people are reading at necessarily in a comic book, but yeah. How scary is that to give your artist that freedom to be like, go ahead with your own comedic timing.
Nail this punchline, please.
You know, what made it harder is, as you guys know, I mean, you guys are comedy guys. Pacing in comics in particular, you need space. You need empty panels. Yeah. You need just facial reactions. And Dark Horse actually made me basically cut an issue's worth. Like, I had it as a 5-issue. They said, you get 4. I said, okay, I need 32 page issue, you get 28. So there's some stuff I would have used more panels in other places if I could, but I wasn't able to. So there's times I had to lose jokes, I had to condense jokes, and other times, again, with not only Ahmed but Rob, who's the letterer, I leaned on him big time, because that's the comedy too, right? Where's that balloon? Right. When's it gonna get read? Where is it looked at? So I lean really heavily on those guys to help me with that. And it's nice to have them as my first audience. Like, is this funny? I don't know.
Right.
And they can find their ways to punch that up or, yeah. So, yeah, it was hard. It was challenging for what I originally wanted to do. But I also, I don't know, sometimes parameters can help. Sometimes that can help, yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that from a comedic point of view? Like, so you're having to cut down. Does that mean you're cutting? Because you want more space, like you said, for the setup punchline of it, I'm guessing. So just walk us through that from a scripting point of view, and then how you communicate that visually, and what you do when you need it to be less.
First I give myself free rein and write it all out, all the spacing I need, and then I see, you know, like in the first issue, that first page was actually originally, I think it was 28 panels. So, because I put in every pause and every reaction and every little thing. And then Ahmed sort of shows me what that would look like. Where, well, they're going to be. So it's just readjusting that all the time. And then, the beauty of it is, and because Ahmed, he works digitally and fast, I can see if it works, right? Like, I can.
Oh, that's great.
And be like, oh, that's not as funny as I thought it would be. So let me try to. What if we did this to sort of punch this section up or something? And trying, since I'm trying to make a comedic book, which they don't. There's not a lot of anymore. It better be funny, because if not, it's not like I'm writing, you know, deep, dark Batman monologues about the pain of existence. So if it's not funny, I got nothing. So that's what we're aiming for first. And then hopefully as the series ends, I throw some heart in there too. I actually want to shout out, 4 Kids Walk Into a Bank was such a touchstone for me, because that is Tyler and Matt were just able to do, like, the amount of panels they used, their timing, it was all incredible. And that book showed me, oh, you can do funny comics that aren't, you know, stupid or that.
Yeah, right. They aren't just jokey.
Yeah, exactly. Just jokes. Like, that you can have some heart and a really strong story, and you just got to be able to nail it. And it's not always easy, and sometimes I might have failed, but hopefully at the end it all comes together and you get the big picture.
Well, on the flip side, though, you also have bubbling in the background, at least of the first two issues, and I assume this continues for the next two, this pretty terrifying villain going on there.
Yeah.
How dark are things potentially going to get as the series continues?
I'm trying to remember what's in the second issue. it gets dark, but it's why I loved whoever said it, the Barry comparison, because it was, that's what really hit for me when someone said that, one of you guys said that, was the villains in that show
are hilarious. Yeah. They're the best part. Yeah.
Horrifying. Like you don't know if they're going to cut a guy's head off.
Yeah.
Next scene, they're hilarious. And so that's it. I think that's where this lands tonally in terms of the villains and in terms of the darkness. It never gets depressing dark, but it does get a bit kind of dark. Yeah. Like, oh, is that happening? But I think hopefully that tone of it's still funny, it's still there. And I think part of what helps the sort of darkness is I've said it here and now. You know, it's not, I'm not, this yeah. isn't Guardians of the Galaxy. This is here and now, and people, it's just really heightened.
Yeah.
Well, the book is great. I love it. So I love the second issue as well. Before we let you go, though, is there anything else you want to plug? Obviously, this is the main thing, but anything else folks should be checking out?
I just did this won't be over. I just did a couple days yesterday on the upcoming Muhammad Ali miniseries for Amazon.
Is it? Oh, wow.
Did I sign an NDA? I don't know. But yeah, so I'm still an actor. I still do that.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, it's still my living. It's become decreasingly so over the last couple years. But yeah, that's how I got into this. That's what I do. And
do you live up in Canada still, or are you in?
Yeah, I live in Hamilton, which is like the Brooklyn of Toronto is what we like to call
yes.
it.
Yes, here.
Nice.
But yeah, but, I mean, I used to do the place where the Power Pals live is a place based on a place called the Highland Gardens in L.A., which is
I was there yesterday.
Really? So go there for pilot season. That's where we would live during pilot season. And they even there's a couple Canadian guys who made a show based on it. All the Canadians
that's funny.
LA going to pilot season. Yeah, living there.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Dwayne, the book is great. Again, thank you so much for coming on. Good seeing you again. And I'm very excited to see where the rest of it goes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
Fun book.
Thanks, man.
See you, Dwayne.
All right. There we go. Once again, the book is called Who Are the Power Pals? The first issue is out now from Dark Horse Comics. The second issue is out next week from April 30th. As Justin mentioned, we had an advance look at the book. And it is really fun and wildly creative from a layout perspective. Just be prepared to turn your laptop a little bit if that's how you're reading it. If it's a comic, you'll be fine.
I juggle it. I juggle it. Yeah, crazy.
You go through a lot of laptops that way, though. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I got to get them into their bag and board, and that's annoying.
We've got another guest, though. He is the writer of Buried Long, Long Ago. The first issue of that is out now from Mad Cave Studios. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Cleveland.
Hey, hello. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Yeah. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for putting The Hobbit on behind you.
Yeah.
Which scene are we at? This doesn't look
familiar. The Goblin King, I think.
Yeah, it's getting... I love you have a big I'm in a video store right now energy right now.
Yeah. It's like all in the garage too, so I don't get to come out here often, so when I do I like to make sure I pop in a tape.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. I love it.
Well,
I'm just going to watch. You guys talk. Yeah. This is great.
Well, listen, before we jump into the interview, I do want to mention every week we have a cocktail on the show that is either created or curated by Brett Macris, professional chef down in New Orleans.
Bullies.
He has a great restaurant called Shift. Everybody should check out. And this week he created a cocktail based on your book. It is titled "Have You Seen Mom? She Did What?" Which doesn't really usually it ties to the title some way, but this ties into the plot of the book.
Yeah, you gotta read that book.
Yeah, you gotta read that book.
Because it's about a bad mom is, I guess, what we could take away here. And so he made a very dark drink to pair with it, which is dark rum, blackberry syrup, lime juice, ginger beer, and garnish with a fresh blackberry, like the pits of hell themselves, which are full of blackberries, I believe.
Oh, yeah. We all know that.
Yeah, famously. That's the part about hell everyone loves is the fresh blackberries.
So yeah, there you go. There's a buried long ago cocktail. I did not make it, Justin. I was assuming since you're in LA.
No,
they don't have blackberries out there, right?
No, famously bad produce in California. Yucky.
No, I'm looking forward to it. That's pretty much everything I like. The rum. Awesome. I love ginger beer. Yeah, thank you for putting that together.
Nice.
Yeah, no problem. Well, why don't we talk about the book, though? We really enjoyed this book, read it last week when it came out, and it is based loosely on real-life events of a mom who, with three kids, marries a dude, does something very bad, but there are even worse things lurking outside. Since this was based on true events, I imagine this is something that you're familiar with. I don't want to assume obsessed with or anything like that, but where did you first get keyed into this real story?
I'm from Northwest Indiana, and there's a museum that has an exhibit dedicated to the story, to the case.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I saw that at an early age, and I think that kind of the obsession began there, I guess. It was like probably my first time learning about serial killers too, because everything before that, the monsters were like, what, Freddy, Jason, things like that. And then you learned that this was a person, and what she did just struck with me as a, you know, a horror kid. But not horror, like it was like real world now, you know.
Do you mind, just for anybody who doesn't know, just to give a rundown of what the case is?
Yeah, for sure. Belle Gunness was a serial killer from Norway, came to La Porte, Indiana, which is about an hour away from Chicago. And she put ads in Chicago newspapers, Lonely Hearts classifieds, for men to come to her farm, bring their cash with them and align fortunes. And when they showed up, she killed them and buried them in the hog pit. There's a whole lot more to it beyond that, but the story is largely unresolved. We don't know what happened to Belle, but we don't get too deep into that with this story, because it's kind of a fairy tale version of that story. So it's definitely Belle and it's the case, but we stray quite far.
Well, why is that? Well, I mean, given you've gotten this real mystery here, I guess it's because there are unexplained things that allows you an in to take this anymore. Again, skirting spoilers, but potentially supernatural.
Direction. Yeah, I mean, I've had this, like I said, middle school, I've known the story, and there's just so many unanswered questions that eventually your imagination is going to take over. And I've tried to tell the story a few different ways, you know, once straight, once as a screenplay. And then I just decided to, it's been, you know, 20 years since I learned the story. Let's just see where the imagination takes it. And there's just so many fairy tale parallels to the story. I went with that, and what we got to is buried.
What I loved about the book, and when we reviewed it last week when it came out, it was like, it sets up like sort of some fantastical elements, and then the horror comes from the reality pretty hard. And then we sort of double back on that. Is that how you sort of, like you were saying, it took on a fairy tale nature to you as you have thought about it so long? But is that the structure you were always like, this is the way to get to it? This is the way to sort of surprise readers as they're coming in?
No, I think that what happens at the end, is that what we're... Yeah.
Well, just the twist in the sort of three quarters of the way through the book caught me way off guard because it starts fantastical and sort of gets to that a little bit. Again, skirting spoilers, but the reality of the story really got me.
Well, just to talk about it specifically, if it's okay with you, Anthony, I'll give a spoiler warning here to talk more specifically about what Justin is saying. So reading through the book, I think us not knowing the story all yeah. three of us expected, oh, there's a monster outside here. It's going to stalk this family. But instead, the mother almost immediately kills the guy that she's married and is like, hey, kids, you got to help me cover this up. There are still things outside there that are stalking them. But I think that's what Justin was referring to, sort of that shocking moment when it's revealed, oh, she's a killer and bloodily murdering this man. She's potentially the real monster in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely that's there for sure. I mean, like, I guess kind of balancing that as well, to let readers know that this is a fairy tale version of that. I think the page you have up right there is probably a good example of that. They begin reading a fairy tale book and one of them says, if the story's retold, that's not the way I would tell it. You should change it kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we can't change history at all. I mean, that's not what I'm trying to do with the book or some kind of revisionist version of it. What happened, happened. And, you know, many historians have covered it way better than I probably ever could. But what really hasn't been done is just kind of exploring more of the questions that haven't been answered with it. And I think to do that, you to keep respect to, you know, people who have passed, is to just fully commit to this fictional version by introducing new characters or alternate characters in this case sometimes.
Now, and just to, like, I feel like the expectation in most horror adjacent stories, it's like regular people, scary thing, heighten the scary thing. And you totally do the opposite. And like you're saying, you're bringing this story now out there. Are you going to, you say you're fantastical, bring it into the fantastical world so you don't, like, affect the real events of it, but do you make any sort of, like, how does it connect back to reality as you're going through the story, if that makes sense?
I think Belle's story is pretty much what she did, and what she was probably like. We don't really know. She was never caught, so we don't know how she was in court, you know, psychiatrist, you know, afterwards, or anything like that. But what we have from the evidence is probably in, like, the hearsay, the neighbors, her sister, anyone that, survived, just how she was is pretty close to how she probably is in the comic book. The crimes are there, for sure. The end is not the same. It's a little spoiler.
Great.
Cause I know that a lot of people have known the story, especially if they're from this area here.
Right.
But yeah, we deviate quite a lot.
I mean, I think you just addressed this, but I'm always very curious from the writer's perspective, what you feel your responsibility is to the truth, if at all. What was your feeling during there? Were there points when you felt like, I got to modulate this further away so it is not quite as close to the truth? I need to modulate it closer because that's how the story happened? Or ultimately, are you just telling the story that you want to tell?
I think, yeah, I mean, at first, definitely, it was what parts do I introduce, what do I leave out? But then I think once I realized to start it as a fairy tale, and that fairy tale that we tell at the beginning is very close to the true story. The events and everything there are basically the retelling of the Belle Gunness case. So once that ends, then the kids kind of say, let's retell it. I think that was the thing that kind of broke me away from adhering to truth so much, because it's off the gate. It's saying, I mean, folks may not get it the first time they read it, but and then maybe after they hear the true story, they know, but it kind of sets the tone that we're, you know, straying. And then by the end of the first issue, you know, we're straying for sure.
You have a great artist on this book, Alex Korbach, who I feel like is becoming kind of like a go-to horror guy. What was it like working with him? What did he bring to the book?
Oh, man. Alex is when we got him, it was like one of those guys you just want to stay out of the way of. Not like the Alex is like, I have to do it my way or anything like that, but it's just like you want him to do it his way. You know, he's got an eye and you definitely want to see what he does. And like, we worked on the book, I don't know, 5 years trying to get it done. And it was just seeing his style change a little bit every time. Issue two is a good example of that, where he really puts a lot of expression with the characters. He pulls in like manga influences to get across a lot of the humor that comes up. But it's amazing working with Alex.
It's really good. Like, I feel like there's a moment in the first issue where I feel like I'm turning a corner somehow and seeing this horrifying thing. And I'm like, that's not possible in comics. So, and I couldn't even identify how he did that. But like, it is, there's a movement to it that really got me. It was great.
He does. He's got the flow. I mean, Rota Bones, he's got a lot of practice under his belt for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you something, not exactly about the book, but in your bio, it says that before you went full time with comics, you were a county coroner deputy.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Investigating dead bodies, pretty much. So anytime there was a death in my county, they would call me. I would come out, investigate, document, and try to bring as much evidence as I could find, including, you know, toxicology samples from the body itself, and then transport the body back to the morgue. That was about 4 years. And then I told everyone there that I was going to, you know, leave and write comics. It was like, I told like one person, and then like at the meeting, that person told everybody at the meeting.
He's leaving. Like, oh, cool. He's trying to get out of here.
But like, everyone's like, oh, comics. Okay, cool. Like, I guess everyone there read comics. I don't know.
Yeah. Are they going to be about like dead bodies and horror and stuff? And you're like, oh, no, uh-huh.
No. You know.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, because you do have this background that is very specific, is that something that either you have brought into your comic book work or specifically avoided because that was a different point in your life?
Oh, no, no, definitely brought in. The last book, Charred Remains, with Andrea Muti, it was pretty much like, hey, do you want to write this? We're going to call this, you know, it's about some fire entity that chars people. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's <Yeah. laughs> the only thing that really gets to me with the coroner cases. Like, you know, not to be dark, but like, you know, infant child deaths and then charred bodies. Charred bodies is the terrible experience. It's, you know, smell, touch, everything nasty at once. So I'm like, okay, let's go back there and let's write a book about it.
Wow. You're like, oh man, that's wild.
Yeah. Last question for you. Gollum in the animated movie or Gollum in the live action? Which design do you like better?
Oh, live action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like the performance more.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I got to go animated.
Really? Yeah, I've definitely been paying attention to you. Don't pick a fight with our guests. Well, looking at the animated one behind, I forgot he was like kind of this fishman sort of guy.
Yeah. Cool. It's different.
The thing I don't like about the Gollum live action version is his hair it bothers me. I don't know what it is.
Oh, the strands? Hair? Yeah.
The strands. I don't like strands like that.
Oh, yuck. My God. The fucking
it's too
hair?
Swampy. He's got swampy Jesus. Hair.
Oh, no good. There's a swap. I don't know how to tell you that. Anthony, this book is great. I'm very nervous about reading the second issue, but is there anything else you want to plug while we have you?
Just the second issue. That comes in June, so there's a little bit of a wait there, but June's my favorite issue. It's Alex's favorite issue. That's where our humor really comes out, and it's also kind of where we get close to the scariest, but it's pretty good.
Oh, man. I'm going to have nightmares.
Definitely. Yeah. Very excited to have those nightmares. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on. Congrats on the book.
Yeah, no, right. Thank you all so much.
All right.
Later.
All right. The book is once again called Buried Long, Long Ago. The first issue, as mentioned, is out now from Mad Cave Studios. Definitely pick it up. It is great.
DC High Volume, Batman. The Dark Knight's definitive DC comic stories. Adapted directly for audio for the very first time.
Fear. I have to make them afraid.
He's got a motorcycle. Get after him or I'll have you shot.
You mean blow up the building?
From this moment on, none of you are safe.
New episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And folks, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my Woo-hoo. Favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Hoo-wee.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. I'll take a glancy poo at Instagram as well. But what?
I don't buy you glancing at Instagram. You say no, it? I've never seen any.
I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. On the gram? Looks like Chris Parker 82 is watching, says it's super tight nanners.
Hey!
Brandon J. Davis, a.k.a. Brandon J., Star Fury Warrior, James B. Emmett, Fried Zombie, and B. Sharp Jr. So there you go. In your face.
Nice. Man. Great. Well, I'm happy to hear that. See, we've never heard that before, and I've never heard the phrase super tight nanners.
Yeah, it seems fun. I'm going to start saying it.
You should.
It's, yeah. I dare you, Alex, I dare you in the next week to use that in a non-comic book club capacity, and please report back in what you say, when, and how it goes.
Yeah,
how it lands. I dare you.
I could use my one phone call to let you guys know that I did it.
Is that after that, yeah, but you have to tell us, and we have to record it.
Cool. What are you guys drinking? Justin, you got some West Coast brew?
I do. One of my favorite beers that they, for some reason, don't have in New York. Deschutes. I love this. This is their fresh squeezed IPA.
Oh, you got fresh squeezed beer, man.
I've been off IPAs because I have it in PA. That's where I get it usually when if I'm in PA. I'm like, I got to stop and grab some fresh squeezed to bring home because they don't have it in the New York market. I'm not invited to Pete's house. That's where I would normally get it.
Oh, my God, man.
I usually drive by, drink one, and
You're
throw the
always
can at
invited.
Pete's. I throw the can at Pete's carport.
Is that where those come from? God damn it.
Yeah, I've just been Deschutes-ing them all over your lawn.
Deschutes discourse.
Deschutes discourse, yeah.
Yes.
Good beer.
And you got a garage bear. Garage bear?
Garage bear! Pete, a garage bear!
Oh, look out for that bear!
Oh, boy.
It's not my garage because I only got a carport.
Yeah. Great. Man, I'm brewing up carport beer. It's going to be really bad, but you're going to have to drink it, Pete.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting for questions here, we have a question, but I'll throw this out to you guys anyway. Did you do anything for Superman Day last Friday? April 18th was Superman Day, the anniversary of Action Comics. You guys do anything fun?
I exposed myself to Red Kryptonite, mostly.
I really thought you were going to be like, I exposed myself like baby Kal-El does at the beginning of the original 1978 Superman.
Yeah. You were couch jumping on the 18th, weren't you, Justin?
I bounced it around a little bit. I've been out here. So I was out here doing two shows at the UCB Theater with my show Characters Welcome. Very fun. I'm staying here until Wednesday night for work on
another
gig. I
guess it's true. Characters really are welcome. You can
characters
stay.
Are welcome.
Can't get rid of characters.
You can't.
Yeah, that's true.
They sleep on the couch. It's a whole thing.
I'm staying in a bungalow at my wife's cousin's house. It's beautiful.
Ooh,
LA has a lot of positives and negatives, but I'm in a very positive place right now.
Hey, like that's LA, nice.
Man. Should we do it?
Yeah, I know you
Should
like
we do
LA,
it,
Alex.
Let's go. Let's go to LA. Move the show to LA.
Pete? Let's turn this bungalow into a fungalow. And by that, I mean it's going to stink soon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't really do anything for Superman Day. That's it. That's my whole story.
You didn't? I thought for sure you were teeing up that you did something.
No.
You're the number one Superman guy.
My very boring story is my old neighbor at my old place was like, hey, you got a package afterwards? And so I got a Superman Day package with a Superman t-shirt from DC, which was very nice. Oh. But I got it like yesterday. I picked it up, which is a bit of a bummer.
Well, every day is Superman Day
exactly.
In a lot of ways. I was in LA on Superman Day, and Michael Hartney, he has his name tattooed in Kryptonian like runes on his arm. Wow. So he's a big. And we went to Golden Comics or Golden Apple.
Golden
Comics.
Apple.
Golden Apple Comics. Yeah. I literally went from the airport to Golden Apple Comics, there's a line around the block because Hardy was picking up his comics. He's like, oh no. I'm like, what's going on in there? He walks in, Rob Liefeld signing.
Wow.
Easy in, easy out. No conversations had. But yes, Hardy almost went down to the Warner Brothers lot, but ended up not to there because they had a Superman day there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It looked very cool. I saw some pictures of it. They were doing a Superman-specific tour of the lot because they did film a couple of scenes there. And then a showing of the original 78 Superman. Yeah. They had the whole thing lit up with Superman stuff. Very cool. Very fun. Fun very times. Cool. All right, we do have some questions now. This is from Kyle Jones. Do you guys watch The Last of Us? Were you torn up by Sunday's episode? No spoilers.
No spoilers. I don't play the game. I have avoided spoilers about the game because the show is following the game story. Oh. And watching the episode, I was pretty surprised and I enjoyed it. And it's the rare thing for a show this big based on IP. I don't know what's going to happen as just a viewer of the show. And that's very rare and exciting.
I did know what was going to happen. I haven't played the second game, but I was pretty well aware just from being online and culture and everything. But I thought it was well done. I wasn't torn up. I'm not very emotionally involved in the show. There's something about it that's keeping me like at arm's length a little bit. But I think it was well done. I think it was well shot and well acted and well executed. Knowing it was coming up, in my head, it played out a different way than it did. And I thought the way that they did the thing that we're jumping around and not talking about, I thought was relatively tastefully done for what it was. Ooh, I was surprised. Tasteful.
That's cool.
And Pete, you're too nude, Pete.
Tasteful nude. Pete, and you're too scared to watch this show.
Well, yeah, I just don't. I'm not drawn to it. So
you don't. So, and you don't like any zombie stuff, right?
I liked that funny zombies movie there with the Bill Murray
Shaun of
bit.
The Dead?
Well, Shaun of the Dead, that too.
No.
Zombieland. Yeah. Okay. A little bit of a rom-com in there, so you know you got to do that. You know what I mean?
Wow. I love you watching Zombieland for the rom-com. That's crazy.
Yeah. Pete watched all of The Walking Dead, and by all of The Walking Dead, he means a compilation of best Maggie and Glenn moments on YouTube. Right,
Pete? Yeah. Don't bring up Glenn. Dude, that's still so fucked up.
He's fine. He's still alive. Yeah, Easy Reader says, are any of you members of Marvel Insider and were you able to use your insider points? I think we talked about this when they announced they were taking down the program, but I got an email being like, you have 20,000 points or whatever. And I was like, okay. And then I clicked it. They were like, you have 0 points. Like, all right, whatever. I'm not coming back here. So no.
What could you have used them on?
I don't even know. I think there was like, there was some crazy top tier level that I'm sure I did not have the points for. No, the top tier level was get drawn into a comic book. Ooh. And I think there were a couple of people that were like, I did it and it never happened. So that was kind of a bummer. But mostly, yeah, it's like, it's not even merch. It's digital comics. And even then it's like wallpapers and things like that. So,
right.
It's gone.
We need wallpapers sometimes, yeah.
Shree Bullet says, are there any crazy real-life events or people you think can make a great comic, like the story of the real Typhoid Mary who carried the disease but was unaffected and spread it like crazy? Very specific.
That is very specific. Everything cool, Stray? That's a great... Because the Typhoid Mary in Marvel Comics isn't quite in that same vein, I wouldn't say. But that is a good one. I think... the time when Pete brought a bag of knives to a Comic-Con, I think would be a good real life event. I'd love to see in at least
that was
a
real life event.
Yeah. So I think I'm ready to see.
Yeah, everybody's accidentally, you know, done something like that. You know what I mean? So
why did you have so many knives, if I may ask?
You know, it was just you had a rough night. You never know what's going to happen. You know what I mean? So,
like, you packed your bags for the, like, you were like, oh, shoot, I mixed up underwear and knives, and now I have a bag of knives.
Yeah, yeah. It's that classic scenario. Like, which bag am I grabbing? Oops, I grabbed my ninja bag by accident.
You should keep your knife drawer and your underwear drawer further separate.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about, like, Phineas Gage? That might be a good one. If you guys don't know that story, that's the guy who got shot through the head with a railroad spike, I think, in the late 1800s.
I've heard you bring this up so many times in the last year. Are you hoping for a brain injury, or did you have
Here's
one?
The thing.
Or...
He started mostly not feeling anything, but then going into fits of rage and sadness and happiness. Like, it basically it cut through the part of the brain, so it just gave him extreme emotions. I'm just saying it would be nice to feel something again.
Your brain injury is doing podcasts. Podcasting is giving you like
it's going to happen brain. Eventually. This is like a railroad spike through the brain.
I like to think so.
Here we go. This is from Schreikler. Who are the most famous people you know for reasons completely unrelated to comics, comedy, or your day jobs?
Oof.
That's how I know most people.
Famous. So this is like famous people we just bumped into randomly?
Or yeah. I feel like... The...
Growing up, you knew him or something like that, I guess?
Yeah, sure. I don't really know them very well at all, but Michelle Gomez, who was on Doctor Who and Gotham and a couple of other shows, and Jack Davenport, her husband, who was on Smash, lived in the same... took their kids to the same school where my kids went to. Mm. So I didn't even really know them or anything. The only time I interacted was actually through my job where I was interviewing Michelle Gomez for Doctor Who. And I was like, actually, our kids go to the same school. And she was like, what? And because she was not, it
That's,
was fine.
That we is weird. I will say weird. That is weird for you to do.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought I'd bring it up. Anyway, but yeah, seeing them and then give out candy in the neighborhood. So maybe that.
That's a good one. The bar I worked at, Lady Gaga's boyfriend lived down the street, and she came in on multiple occasions when I was bartending looking for a cigarette machine that didn't exist and had never been there.
And you're in there. Is this technically, that wasn't a day job, that was a night job, right?
Yes, that's a... I mean, that's... I feel like Schreikler's not talking about the day job of when I bartended like 10 years ago. but that's... I feel like I must have a better one, but I don't know what it is.
Pete?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's like famous people you know. It's like I don't know any famous people, but I've run into or had interactions with different famous people from like past jobs and stuff, but
past lives.
Yeah. I mean, everything else is related to either comics or comedy. So it's a little hard to, you know,
yeah.
Like I once was running down the hall when I was a CBS page and I was late for something.
Sorry, were you a CBS page or CVS page?
CBS, B as in boy.
As a pharmacist assistant at CVS, I was racing down the aisles,
down the hall, and I ran.
You were the guy. You were the guy that I've been waiting for to get my deodorant for like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. And
when I went to Vanessa's Dumplings at one time and helped out Method Man, and he bought my dinner. That was pretty cool.
That's a much better.
That's way better story. How did you help him out?
Because I showed up. And it was like all these people, Method Man and me. And I was like, oh, my God. And so then some PA or something came in, and I guess they were shooting close by, came in and got him. And so he left. And I was like, oh, my God, that was crazy. I can't believe I saw Method Man. And then he came back in and was like looking at a spot in line, which we had gone. I was like, hey, Math, I got you. Come on, man. And I let him get in front of me. And then he bought my dinner.
Nah, that's cool. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Awesome. But the CVS one was very good as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in CVS days. Come on.
Yeah. We got a couple more here. Question from Stanley. Any chance of a new podcast of an older show?
Ooh. Like what?
Matlock.
Arrow.
The idea of going back and watching Arrow is insane.
Some of us would be rewatching.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a couple of plans for other podcast ideas we're working on. I don't want to say it's an older show because it's not, but we will have some new stuff hopefully coming out at some point this year.
Yes.
TBD. We got a bunch of questions about the big thing that's happening in about an hour as we're taping this. Frederico Rosa says, how's the hype for Andor?
Oh, man.
And Derek Maynard follows up with, how are you going to keep up with Andor given its release schedule? For anybody who doesn't know, is doing 3 episodes every Tuesday for 4 weeks.
What?
Which is crazy.
It's
awesome. Well, first off, shouts to the main heart. What's up, bro? But yeah, oh man, that's, I don't know how we're going to do that.
I'm going to watch it and enjoy every second of it. I'm downloading it and watching it on the plane. Cannot wait.
We can't do like a chunk where we're doing like three episodes of one podcast. That seems insane.
Why are you worried about the podcast?
Because yeah, I want to be able to watch it and, you know, talk about it, and then watch an episode and then talk about it.
You just got to do that, but three episodes.
No.
The reviews for this season are awesome.
This is your jam. This is your favorite.
This is absolutely my favorite. I'm going to watch the prison run of episodes from season one before I get into the episodes in season two, because that's... I was just crying. I was a mess watching those episodes because it's just...
That's your Ted Lasso.
People trying hard, 100%.
Yeah. The thing that I will say, I guess I don't know how long the episodes are, but if it is the pace of, like, we're releasing a movie a week, which is how they're sort of plugging it, I could watch a movie a week, and that's all right. I don't want to watch a movie on Tuesday night, and if it's 3 hours long, that sucks, but...
Well, I think it is going to be closer to 3 hours, don't you think?
Oh, boy.
How would it not? I mean, those episodes are long.
They are long. Maybe they'll be like sitcom length. I don't know.
Yeah. Famously sitcom adjacent to that show.
This is from Hartford 1988 over on Twitch. Of all the comic artists and writers you've had on the show, is there a white whale you'd like to get?
Probably Moby Dick would be the number one white whale.
I was going to say.
Got you. Well, you read the question, so we would get to be faster on the answer.
Thar she blows. A hook like a snow hill.
I mean, this wasn't our podcast, but and we have interviewed them before, but I will say it was pretty cool that comic book couples counseling got Grant Morrison on their podcast recently. Wow. That's very fun. We've never
dropped some knowledge.
Yeah.
We've talked to him.
We've interviewed him multiple times, I think, but we've never had
New York Comic Con. We talked to them many times and had, great chats.
I remember they were in crazy suits.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember interviewing Grant at San Diego Comic Con one year where we were just like, oh, let's go in this weird hallway off of the floor. And it was just people.
That was all three of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all three of us. And just like him screaming and yelling, and we're jammed in this small hallway with Grant Morrison, like, talking out of his corner in a quick accent. And I was like, I cannot keep up. This is too much input right now.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Overstimulated.
But yes, that would be very fun. We've never had Jeff Lemire, and that we've come close a bunch of times.
That is
weird. Are you serious?
Yeah, we've never had Jeff Lemire. There were a couple of times where I was close to booking him, and it just didn't work out. So that would be nice.
I could have sworn we have.
I think we've interviewed him before, but we haven't had him on the show. And there's definitely been at least two or three times where I was like, oh, yeah, let's book Jeff, and then it kind of just fell through for whatever reason.
Stanley says Alan Moore in the comments. I mean, that would be...
Yes.
I don't know if we speak the same language as him.
I don't know. But... I got to be honest. I don't know if we can handle that.
Yeah, exactly. I do have a signed copy of his book, but spoiler, I haven't read it yet.
He'd love that. He would love that. Let's have him on. I'll book him. I'll shoot him an email. All right. It is time to move to our next section, which is trivia. Oh. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Oh, boy. This part we give back to the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card online to Midtown Comics. So all we need is a brave volunteer, and you will win $25 to Midtown Comics online.
And Pete, I don't want to spoil it too much, but this week's trivia is a tribute to the Pope, I believe, right?
Yeah. Dude, spoilers, bro. Jeez. No. Okay.
Ooh,
no.
We got Hartford 1988 says me.
Coming at us on Twitch. I'm curious what movie the Pope has starred in with some other random actors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's famously been on so many stuff.
Nick Gunn 2.5, I believe.
Oh, wow. Good call on that one. Today's trivia is about Spawn the Dark Ages and a small nod to the legend George Lowe, RIP, voice of Space Ghost. All right. Listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. How many issues is the total run of Spawn the Dark Ages? Is it A, 28? B, I get it. You don't wear a timepiece because you are the timepiece, Eric Watchman. Option C.
Says A. I love the speed on Twitch.
All right. A is correct. Question number two. Spawn the Dark Ages is about a 12th century knight who was killed in a blank. Is it A, Holy Crusade? B, Ron, try whispering. Geez Louise. C, Ron States.
The loudest form of talking is a statement.
Oh, man. You can't all be statements. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. Throw a question there, a whisper.
Oh, man, we were complimenting Twitch, but now it's fallen behind.
I think Hartford is just thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a lot on the table here. A
lot to ponder.
And you've set the stakes pretty high.
Yeah. Maybe it was thrown off by the Geez Louise line, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Well, let's just assume Hartford said A and get that third question.
All right, great. That's a great idea. Question number three, what year?
Oh, here we go. It gives you a delay if you said the same message.
Yeah, like, surely it wouldn't be the same answer three times in a row.
Yeah. Hey, says Twitch. We don't know if it's going to be three times. Take it easy there, JT.
That's so true, Pete.
Okay, here we go. What year did Spawn the Dark Ages first come out? Is it A, 1999? B, I can't believe we have to have a meeting about this, but I'm going to need you to stop trying all the flavors and just eat the one that you want. C, Jim Samples.
Question three, A?
Correct.
Do you mean Jim Samples, like go to the gym and eat food samples off of like a sweaty tray? Like some hot cheese? Is that what you're talking about, hot cheese?
I'm not talking about hot cheese, no. Yeah.
Now, when you're saying a sweaty tray, you mean T-R-E-Y, right? Like a sweaty tray.
Wow.
A guy named Trey. Sweaty.
What was that whole thing?
This is a sexy accent. This is a sexually charged accent.
Oh, boy.
Alex flips into a very sexual accent.
Hartford, shoot us an email. We will get you a gift card to Midtown Comics. Pete, what movie were you referencing?
Of course, we're talking about the 2007 animated comedy, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, /movie/film for theaters.
Mm. Wow.
All right. Good one. Also a good one is all of the comics that are coming out tomorrow.
What are you guys looking forward to that's coming out?
Pete?
I'm looking out for Absolute Wonder Woman number 7. Oh, man. Great story, amazing art, just absolutely phenomenal. Got to check it out. Also, Green Lantern Dark number 4.
Mm.
The fucking art on that. Get ready. Of course, G.I. Joe number 6. Oh, me and my childhood are having a great time reading comics.
Oh, you and your childhood. You're still pretty close. Still close. Sort of experiencing
that.
Who
flips the pages?
I do.
Well, child Pete eats candy. Big Pete flips the pages. Mm-hmm.
Flips the pages and does said to a woman jokes. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I got to give it up for Absolute Martian Manhunter number 2 perhaps the most obvious pick. But Absolute Wonder Woman number 7 is also very, very exciting. Assorted Crisis Events number 2 from our guy Dennis Camp. Creator that someone asked, I think Derek Mainhart, have you interviewed Dennis? I think we did once, but maybe very quickly. I would like to get a sit down with him.
Mainhart all over this episode.
Yeah. But those comics.
Bunch of comics, as we're saying, coming out. I'm excited to check out Universal Monsters, The Mummy, number 2. Faith Hicks really knocked it out of the park with the first issue. So excited to see what happens there. There's a new issue of The Power Fantasy from Kieran Gillen and Casper Wingard. The series has been great. And there was one other one I wanted to call out that you guys didn't mention among the many, many titles that we're talking about. Oh, I was really into the first issue of Blade Forger from Meta Studios.
That's another one.
So I was very excited to check that one out. That was just an awesome fight comic that ended up in a surprisingly quiet, emotional place. Really curious to see how they follow that up in the second issue. And all of those books and a lot of other ones are going to be in our Stack podcast that comes out Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the Stack feed of the Comic Book Club feed. Straight Bullet says, I want to take the Myrtle Falcon guitar quiz, and the answer is 2 guitars. Pete?
Sorry, buddy, but thanks for trying, but that is not. The hint is the other two co-stars.
For the co-stars? Do you mean me and Alex?
Ooh. That's right. That's right.
All right. Well,
stars.
That is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Anthony Cleveland for coming on. Don't forget to check out Buried Long, Long Ago from Mad Cave Studios.
Great book.
Also, Who Are the Power Pals from Dark Horse Comics by Dwayne Murray. Issue 2 is out on April 30th. Next week on the show, M.K. Perker and N. Alessandro K. are going to be here to talk about Super Science. And Alex Segura is going to be back on the show to talk about his new run on Star Wars, as well as The Forgotten Five, a new comic that's rolling out on Patreon, which is pretty cool. Also, don't forget to stop by Bix Saturday and Sunday.
Come say hi.
Saturday and Sunday at Industry
City. Justin will be there.
Saturday and Sunday at Industry City. It's going to be 11 to 7. You can come by and check it out. We'll have swag and other things. Comic Book Club News, our news show Monday through Friday, every day of the week. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, just finished up talking about Daredevil Born Again. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, everybody.
Take care of yourself out there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.